Good morning, Columbia Grove. Congrats on shoveling your driveways and your cars to get here. And thank God for snowplows, right? Amen. I invite you to stand as we worship. Song, my body pack was off, so I can't even hear the click.
Oh, you did great.
I can tell.
See, it's off.
That was a problem.
Sorry about that.
No, it was great.
Did it sound good out there?
It did. Good job.
Well, regardless, this one's greater.
Bring your pain. Don't you know that If that doesn't get you woken up in the morning, I don't know what will. My name's Andrew. Good to see you. Have a seat, survivors of the snowpocalypse. You made it through. You made it through. All right. And I've seen more than normal folks online today as well. Maybe some of that are still socked in somewhere. Or I know there's a little extra, there's extra amounts of ick going around right now too. So if you're home, please let us, please sign in and let us know too, so we can greet you in the room as well. But thanks for joining us that way as well. We made it. We made it. We made it through the week, and then we get to be together, and we get to enjoy the Lord's presence together. So we're going to pray for our kids as they get ready to head off to Children's Church. Ray and Catherine are getting ready to teach him today, and Ray's got his guitar, and they're going to have a good time. I know that. So let's pray for our kids. Lord, thanks for our kids, and God, we just pray that you would be just blessing them as they spend time with you. And they learn more about your word. And Lord, we just thank you for people like the Dobbs who invest in the next generation. They're so intentional about raising up kids and grandkids. And so we pray for all those who are investing in the next generation. They are such a gift. And so, Lord, we commit them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So while kids are getting settled in Children's Church, take a few moments and greet one another. You can wave. You can give them a fist bump. You can do something. And we'll put a few greetings up on the screen as folks are joining us from Florida. They're joining us from Badger Mountain. They're joining us from Canada. They're joining us from Spokane. We're one big, happy, funky family. Let's greet one another, and then the band's going to lead us in worship. Thanks, guys.
As you make your way back towards your seats, we invite you to either stand or sit, whatever's comfortable for you for worship today. We just want you to be able to enter into worship. This song is really special to me because it kind of portrays a struggle that we go through every single day. We know God's word. We know what he says. We know. But do we truly place our trust in him? Do we truly lay down those worries and concerns and know that no matter what we are facing, that it truly is well? So maybe with that in mind as we sing this song, maybe it'll bring up one of those things that you're struggling with today or that we're facing that's tougher. But we can lay it down at the foot of the cross and we can trust that God will make all things new. And that it is truly well. We worship with us. Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred.
thrown into the midst of the sea.
Lead us in that prayer. Thank you, Keith. That mic should be ready for you.
Thank you for that song. That's one I've probably listened to 100 times on YouTube. Just put that baby on repeat. It is truly well with our souls. Join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your love, grace, and forgiveness. You are wonderful, wise, patient, compassionate, good, faithful, just, kind, majestic, all-powerful, trustworthy, beautiful, eternal, awesome. And what a sense of humor you have. You are the one for which nothing is impossible. We come to you through the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for our government leaders, local, state, national, for peace, wisdom, good decisions being made in the best interests of all. Direct us as we give our leaders feedback and support. We pray that we would better understand how to be good stewards of the planet you have entrusted us with. Show us how we can come alongside you in caring for those on the margins of society, the refugee, the immigrant, the hungry, the homeless, the persecuted, the defenseless, the poor, the unborn, and the elderly. We pray for those affected by the winter storms, snow removal crews, travelers, and families who have been separated, those bringing supplies, crews who are restoring services, homeowners and businesses protecting property from damage. We are thankful that we have seen our communities pull together to help each other dig out. We have been so blessed to receive and give help. We are thankful for healthcare workers who show up no matter what. Speaking of healthcare workers, allow them rest. We pray for the end of COVID and its effects. We have become COVID information weary. We need your peace and truth. Please heal those currently sick, especially those who are hospitalized. We pray for missionaries, church leaders, evangelists, and organizations around the world. Those who work in the most closed and persecuted places, may leaders and teachers speak the truth boldly and safely. Thank you for organizations like World Vision and Compassion and so many others who work with children. We know you love children. We pray for Columbia Grove, our children's ministry, that God would provide the needed leader and children would thrive in it. For those who are hurting, lonely, sick, in struggling marriages, fighting against addiction. I'm thinking of friends who are trying to quit smoking. Give them strength. Praying for others looking for work or who are asking for your direction. May the many who have recently lost loved ones, we pray for them, Lord. We just pray that you come beside them as only you can. Be near in this time. Our hearts ache for those who have lost dear ones. We pray for our connection groups that will be forming and regathering later this month. We pray for Brant Capel as he continues to recover from a heart transplant. For Richard Olson as he asks for healing from his back pain. With Walt and Alette as they pray for their nephew Doug with Guillain-Barré syndrome. For Ross Holcomb as he recovers from illness. For Evelyn Williams' friend Sylvia as she recovers from illness. For Bill Mills as he battles infection. At this time, you may lift your own prayers to God silently or out loud. Let us be people with open hands, ready to receive what you give and willing to share our gifts with others as we continue to seek your face. Open our ears, soften our hearts. May your Holy Spirit guide Andrew as he teaches us to be more like the one in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Keith. I love hearing your heart. I love hearing your heart. Well, today we are starting, it's a bit of a mini teaching series, just 2 weeks on a topic that, it affects all of us. Who are you? And how do you know who you are? Who gets to tell you who you are? So it's 2 weeks on the topic of identity. And I mean, all of us are on that journey. All of us have had to make some of that journey. All of us have some sense of self-identity. And our identity, you know, impacts all those other major areas like belonging. Where do I belong? Who are my people? Who am I with? Or that sense of purpose. Why am I here? It also is a topic that is, well, it's enormously, at times, controversial in society. We're wrestling through this together as a culture. And so what I hope to do today is to provide a bit of a theological framework for understanding identity, like what the Bible teaches us about where our sources of identity are, how we know who we are. And then you know, next week we're going to look into some things that are going to be a little bit more detailed and honestly a little more controversial as well, as we look at some of the areas where our culture is particularly struggling with identity, issues like sexual identity, gender identity. And so on some level, many Christians would probably say, hey, we're in the middle of a culture war on these issues. And I don't disagree with that. But what I do hope we can do in our time together, and especially today, is to create a bit of a framework for understanding, because I would suggest to you that while, yes, we are in a culture war, and yes, there are forces around us in our culture that are trying to minimize or ignore or eliminate even a biblical worldview on identity, I actually think there's a deeper issue. I think that if we take a close look at the culture war, which is very real, I think as we look underneath the culture war, what we'll actually see is a culture-wide crisis of identity. As a people, as a society, especially in Western culture, we don't know who we are because we don't know how to know who we are. Let's say that again. We don't know who we are because we don't know how to know who we are. So I'm going to push you a little bit. I don't expect you to agree necessarily, but what I hope I'll do is to kind of open up a conversation, open up some can of worms, I guess you could say. Some of them they'll keep wiggling around, but I hope that it can launch some fruitful conversations. And I hope it will also help all of us to engage better so that we can be more compassionate, that we can be more thoughtful, that we can be more biblical, and I believe also we can be more Christ-like in how we engage the culture around us, because it's not just a matter of being right. It's also how we present the truth. So it's not just truth, it's also the tone of truth. So I hope we can build empathy, compassion, understanding, biblical worldview, and then engage in this super important issue in Christ-like ways. So I'm going to need you to put on your thinking cap with me. Though as we look at some of these, the biblical kind of foundation, like our sources of identity, there's some parts of this that I imagine you'll just go, duh. Actually, I hope you do. So I hope, because we're going to start with some stuff that you might just go, I knew that. But it's actually as we it's kind of like with almost anything, it's important that we do. When we understand the foundation, we understand the basics, and we anchor ourselves well in those foundational truths, then we'll know how to engage on those areas that are a little more tricky, a little harder to navigate. We've got to establish a firm foundation first. So that's where we're going this week, and then we'll press into the more controversial stuff next week. And I should point out, and I'll mention this in other points too, those are discussion group tonight too. So if you want to have some like just around the table conversations on these issues. 6:30 to 8 o'clock here. We'll also have some Zoom options because I know folks are going to want to join us from other places as well. But I hope this will maybe spur you with this. Because biblically, there are three sources of identity. Three of them. The first one is God. First one is God. Well, because like in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, the Lord God created the heavens and the earth. We jump up to verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move on the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And we see that truth proclaimed in all passages like Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. And later in the same psalm, it would say, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes saw my unformed body as it was being knit together in my mother's womb. Is the one of the first and primary sources of identity is God. Because if there is a creator, and I believe there is, I believe there's abundant evidence that there is, not just in, you know, in God's word, but in just the natural world around us, in science around us, if there is a creator, the creator knows the creation. If there is a maker, the maker knows better than anyone and anything else the details of the one that has been made. Let me give you a little example, a little illustration. I brought a sermon illustration with me. I'll be right back. This has been my little sermon illustration for a couple of times because I've been cutting myself on it. It's not quite done yet. Pretty close. But over the last few months, I've been building a guitar. It's actually the second custom guitar I built from a kit. This one is, tentatively called Mercy. I named guitars because I'm weird. But see, it's Mercy at the Cross. We want to look for mercy, I find mercy at the cross. And almost done. There's a few things that still need to happen before she's ready to make her worship leading debut. But she will be joining her sister, Trinity, who is also a custom handmade guitar. I've made two guitars in my life. Don't plan to ever sell them, I have two beautiful handmade guitars, and I have two beautiful handmade daughters. So, kind of have a plan for one day. But my point with the guitar is just simply this. See, I know more details about that guitar than probably anybody else. There's stuff inside the guitar, like these little wooden braces, and there's like little reinforcement strips, there's a little piece of ribbon inside around the inner edges, and you would never see them, but I know they're there. There's little things about it that are flaws, you know, stuff where I cut my finger and I did something not quite right with the binding, so I put an extra binding strip in there, so there's some pieces of it that didn't look quite like I expected it would be, but it makes it unique. And I know those details because I built it. If the guitar was able to be, you know, independently self-aware, there would be things still that I would know about the guitar that the guitar wouldn't even know about itself. Or you think of a really great meal that you've eaten. Nobody knows the great meal like the chef who cooked the great meal. The creator knows the creation. The maker knows the one who has been made. So that's our first and kind of foundational source of identity. But that's not the only one, of course. The second one, and this is the one that you're probably well familiar with, it's the one that our culture talks about the most, and that's just self-awareness. And the Bible tells us that self-awareness is a good thing. Passages like 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. So being self-aware is a good thing. But the Bible also expresses a little bit of skepticism about it, also recognizes there are limits to our own self-awareness. Proverbs 21:2, a person thinks their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart. So it's a good thing to be aware of your emotions. It's a good thing to be aware of your inner life. But we're kind of like, you've probably heard this illustration before, but we're kind of like icebergs. There's the part above the water that we see, but a much greater part beneath the water that we don't see. So we're aware of our own emotions, we're aware of our thoughts and feelings, but there's stuff underneath the surface, right? Quite a bit of stuff underneath the surface. So if you're sitting next to somebody, especially if you came with that somebody, just take a quick glance at them. Just a quick glance. Look at them. Would you say, or if you're on your own, maybe think of somebody you love, somebody you know pretty well. Would you say that that person that you're looking at through the corner of your eye, or the person you're thinking about, would you say they are fully self-aware? Or are there things about them that they probably don't fully know about themselves? Those weird noises? That habit they have that kind of bugs you? Or also, if we're being honest, some of their strengths and talents that they just can't even see? I mean, you see it just clear as day, but they still struggle to believe they can actually do the thing that you know that you can see in them. None of us are fully self-aware, which is why we also need that third source that the Bible affirms, and that's our community, and to a certain degree, our culture. That's our third source of identity. Okay, so in like Pastor Mark, who I know is joining us online right now, because he's feeling a little ill today. But preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, that was like the big verse of last week. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. You know, like we are in community together. We need one another. Our gifts, our talents, our differences are part of our strength. That is who we are. So we're part of community, and that's a significant part of who we are. So to summarize that, I've got a little image that hopefully will help us understand this a little bit better. So if you're taking notes, make a triangle on your piece of paper. There we go. Hi there. So me, that's self-awareness. We, community, and above all of it is He. Three sources of identity: self-awareness, community, and God. So let's go a little bit deeper. So with me, so that's going to be the next slide. So with me, that's all those things, those emotions, the personality, the abilities, a deep world of self-awareness awaits you. And it's a lifetime journey of figuring out our stuff. Just like the person next to you is not fully self-aware, none of us are. Also have the we part, the culture, the friends, the family. Every truly brave thing you've probably done in life, you've done because you had a friend that helped you do it. Also every truly stupid thing you ever did in life, you probably had an accomplice. You had someone that was helping you along. Our families can be our greatest source of strength. Our families are also, for most of us, our deepest sources of wounding. So each one of these sources has elements that are helpful and good, and other elements that can be misread or can be hurtful. Every one of those. Or even to remember that in our culture, I mean, we are marinating in culture. We have culture that is sending us messages about who we are and what things are important. So we are deeply affected, including a culture that, for example, here, is anybody, I'm assuming that no one's going to put their hand up for this, but is anybody here in the room had an arranged marriage? Some of you are like, I don't know. Felt like it. But, I mean, that's something we just don't do in Western culture. We don't do that, although it's not necessarily a worldwide norm. We just think, well, arranged marriages, they would never, ever work. And I'm not saying that we want to do that. Don't worry, honey. I'm talking to my daughter. Don't worry, we're not trying to do that. Though I would say, you know, for our oldest daughter who got married just over a year ago, had we known, her now husband, we would have picked him. We would have picked him. She made a wonderful, wonderful choice. But here's the thing, the U.S. divorce rate is north of 40%. The divorce rate among arranged marriages, globally, is about 6%. Just maybe there are times when the community around us actually knows us better than we know ourselves. And people, and I realize not every arranged marriage, this is not me advocating for arranged marriage, just making an illustration. I realize arranged marriages are not perfect. But it points to something. Points to some of those deeper cultural values. You would never imagine it, and yet when it happens in other parts of the world, most of the time it actually works really well. Because when we are surrounded with loving community, our loving community can often know things about us that we don't know for ourselves. Then we also have, of course, the third thing, the he part of it. Let's put that image back up on the screen if you don't mind. And that's, the God factor that we know through God's word, we know through prayer, we know through personal revelation. And there are some parts about God's word that are crystal clear if we're willing to believe it and hear it. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Things that are absolutely crystal clear, true all the time. Romans 2:10, you are God's handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You have a purpose. Crystal clear in Scripture if we're willing to hear it. Or that you are beloved. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. There's some parts of Scripture that are absolutely crystal, crystal, crystal clear. There's some other parts where more discernment is needed. I think of how in Revelation or in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. And so Abraham left everything and went to the place where God showed him to go. And that, which is, I mean, it's a true story and God's word is always true, but that doesn't necessarily mean that applies to you. Sometimes discernment is needed. And the point of this is that we need those other areas of our life to have discernment on those areas of revelation and prayer where we're not 100% clear. Let me give you an example. Actually, can we go back to full screen for a second? Okay, so I was 15 years old, turning 16, when I ended up at a church camp. And among other things, there was an altar call one night for those who were starting to feel a sense of call maybe into ministry. And something happened in my guts. I felt something. And I went forward and they prayed over me. And it felt like a really big deal. And then I came back home. Now, the other thing you need to know about the year that I turned 16 is I was involved in a bar band. I mean, we were the house band for a local nightclub. And I thought I was really hot stuff because I had a career as a rock star. Yeah. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you go ahead and laugh. That's true. But it's so I came back from this camp and I told my bandmates about how I had experienced the call from God and I was going to become a minister. And actually, can we get you as close a shot as you can just for a second? Just zoom in as tight as you can, because I need to show you their reaction. It went a little bit like this. As they came to realize that, you know, if I pursued this goal, this was not going to help with what had been kind of our goal as a band, which is, of course, to attract women. You know, which is not going to help the goal. They gave me that look, you know, whatever. And, you know, if that had been the only influence in my life, if that had been the only friendship group around me, I don't think I would have had the strength to pursue that call. Because, you know, when we hear the call of God, I mean, we hear it, but, you know, there's a bit of murkiness around it, the individual aspects of God's call, which is why I'm so grateful that those weren't the only friends in my life. By that point, I was also part of a church youth group. I was part of a church. And when I told them about it, they were more enthusiastic. And they helped me investigate it. And they gave me a chance to try areas of leadership, kind of like what we do in our church here. You know, whether that's with internships or raising up ministry leaders, they gave me a chance to try things out, to make mistakes, to test that call. And then here, all these years later, here we are. God spoke, but I needed the community around me. I needed healthy community around me in order to discern what I thought I heard. Because sometimes we don't always hear correctly. Or sometimes the clarity of what we heard happens over time. So if you could remember this the foundational truth that I hope we can just anchor in on with identity. It goes like this. I know this is a little kitschy, I know it's a little, but just bear with me. Me, we, he, we need all three. Say that with me. We, me, he, we need all three. You can even personalize it. Me, we, he, I need all three. Me, we, he, I need all three. Now, would you basically affirm that? We need to be self-aware. We need to be listening to God's guidance in our life, and we need community around us. Me, we, he. That's our foundation of identity. You with me? Because that helps us to understand the challenge we are in. Okay? Because, see, we live in a culture that looks at identity in a very different way. Instead of we, me, or me, we, he, we need all three. And actually, let's put that back up again, because there's one more truth in there I should probably affirm. Is me, we, he, and knowing God is key. Right? Me, we, he, and knowing God is key. That as we look at the different sources of identity, that there's actually one voice that speaks louder than the others. And speaks with greater clarity than the others. Me, we, he, we need all three, and God is key. But our culture does not see things the same way, as you well know. Let me just, a few quotes here. First one from Amy Tan. There we go. You have to be your own person. You can't let other people's opinions determine how you think about yourself. There's a difference between identity and self-identity, kind of implying that self-identity is better. Or Oscar Wilde, I bet you've heard this quote many times. Some of you have it as your signature, which is fine. Be yourself. Everyone else is already taken. or Ralph Waldo Emerson. To be yourself in the world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. So in Western culture, we highly value self-actualization. We highly value the individual. It is the subplot of almost every movie you see, almost every Disney film. Be yourself. Find yourself. It is entirely up to you. That's one of the messages of our culture. It's a message of every social media platform. It is all about you. We are marinating in this value. And so what we're facing right now is the accumulated effect of many years of shifting nearly all of the weight of discernment onto the individual, devaluing the role of community, and excluding God. So this is our cultural model. If you're making triangles on your pieces of paper, which, humor me, you know, like pretend like you're moving your fingers. All right, so we've got me, we've eliminated the he, and the greatest of the three is me. It's all about me, 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 me. It's all up to you to figure out who you are all by yourself. And now here's the irony of it, actually, is how do we know that? We know that because our culture is telling you that. You know, our culture is saying to us, don't listen to anybody else. Only listen to yourself. Only listen to me while I'm telling you to only listen to yourself. And so in that ironic position, they're telling us how to self-actualize, how to seek out our own identity. And then oftentimes, trying to present us with the only range of available options. This is what it's like culturally to be a man. And if you don't fit that model, maybe you're not a real man. Hey, maybe you're a woman in a man's body. And I realize when you start to push back on some of those gender things, I'm only scratching the surface. There's a lot more to it. But this is part of it. Hey, did you realize that prior to 1940, that like the colors that we associate with maleness and femaleness, because like if a little girl is born, when there's a gender reveal on TikTok, what color, if they're anticipating a little girl, what color comes out of the birthday cake or the balloon? What color? Pink. Of course, we all know that, right? You realize prior to 1940, the color roles were reversed? Look it up. Little girls would often be dressed in blue. Little boys would often be dressed in pink because pink was closer to red. Red's seed is more aggressive. Because, of course, men are aggressive and women aren't. And if you're a woman who is aggressive, who likes to hunt and fish and beat things up, and you're a natural leader, the man, they would say, this person's a leader. The woman, they say, the culture would tell us, you're bossy. Because we've got these culturally assigned gender roles that we are marinating in. Which is all the more reason we need to, as people of God, we need to take a close and hard look at what the Bible actually says. So, to contrast the two, okay, you've got a cultural view and you've got a Christian worldview. Can we put that image up on the screen? So, over here in the cultural worldview, it's all about me. Where is it? There we go. There we go. I'll figure this out. It's like in the mirror. The cultural worldview, it is all about me. And we've eliminated the voice of God. Christian worldview. Me, we, he. We need all three. And the voice of God is key. It's all about you. Or me, we, he. We need all three. And the voice of God is key. So That's why next week, as we get to things that are a little bit more controversial, the question that I hope we can take into that so that we develop greater degrees of understanding and greater degrees of empathy is this, is how we can talk to people who are trying to make some of the most important decisions of their life without all the needed information. Okay? Because here's the truth. Most people are doing the best they can with what they know and what they've experienced. Most people. If you could imagine, and I was thinking about getting, I couldn't actually find this week as another little sermon illustration, so we'll just put up an image. If you could think of identity as a three-legged stool, as a three-legged stool, how well would this stool stand if you chopped off one of the legs and then tried to cut one of the other legs in half? How well would that stool stand? Wouldn't. It'd look more like firewood. And not a stool at all. It couldn't carry any weight. That's what we're in right now. That is the culture-wide identity crisis we are in right now. People all around us who don't know who they are because they don't know how to know who they are. Me, we, he, we need all three. And they're living in a culture that says it's nothing but me. That's why I hope we'll have some deeper conversation. There'll be a little discussion group here tonight, 6:30 to 8 o'clock. Come be a part of it. Come disagree with me. Come push. Come question. That's good. If you want to get a Zoom link, so those of us part of our EFAM, is send me an email to andrew@columbiagrove.org. I'll make certain you get a Zoom link. Please don't Facebook message me because I only check my Facebook messages about 2 or 3 times a week, okay? That's just also for y'all. My friends text me, my acquaintances use Facebook. Okay, so you go ahead and text me, you go ahead and call me, you go ahead and email me, and if you send me something on Facebook, I'll see it several days from now, and I will care about it several days from now, but if it's urgent, you know how to reach me. Okay, andrew@columbiagrove.org. Now, but what I don't want to just do is say, okay, let's equip ourselves so that we can talk to culture, so that we can talk to all those people out there that got problems, that got issues, that don't really know who we are, who they are. Instead, if we're looking at it today, and if we're able to be honest, and I hope we can, is... So what do I do? Well, start with you. So I'm going to ask you 2 questions and that I hope we can challenge all of ourselves with. Here's the first question. If you believe that what God says about you matters, how are you listening for his voice in your life? Now, I don't want to make you feel bad too much because... you're here. If you're watching, hey, you're here. You're here. And you've given up valuable time in your week for us to try to anchor our hearts together in God's word, to proclaim the truth of God, to sing those truths. We've been singing those truths throughout the morning. But, there's 168 hours in a week, and you've just given one. And that's good. But realize... that when we're trying to anchor our hearts in who God says we are, well, even though God's voice is more powerful than any other voice, 167 to 1 are really rough odds. That's why. Let me see your eyes, folks. That's why you need God's word in your life on a regular basis. That's why you need intentional Christian friendships in your life on a regular basis. Because we are marinating in a culture that wants to get us to forget who we are. That wants us to embrace a cultural model that will not lead us to understanding who we actually are. So What do you want to do with that? I hope you're, whether it's a connection group, whether it's some intentional Christian friendships, I hope there are people in your life who can speak truth to you. I hope you are looking to foster in your own life humility, teachability. So when somebody says something to you that rubs you the wrong way, rather than just run away, you might say, okay, hey, this person really loves me. Is there any truth in what they're saying? That we look to surround ourselves with biblical truth. So for those areas of Scripture that are clear, and there are many, that are crystal clear about who we are, that we're listening. If you believe that what God says about you matters, how are you listening for that voice that matters? Here's the second question, okay? What areas of your emotional life are still catching up to what you know to be true? Here's what I mean by that. So Romans 8:1, crystal clear passage. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that God's word is true? Yes. That's a passage that is foundational, is timeless, it's written for all people. And yet, if I'm being honest, and I hope we can be, I still sometimes emotionally wrestle with shame. There is therefore now no condemnation those who are in Christ Jesus, and there's moments in my own soul I feel the sting of condemnation. What that tells me is that there are still aspects of my identity that are malformed, that God is still working on. And I think if we can be honest with one another, I think that's true for all of us in various ways. And if we're going to have a thoughtful conversation with culture, if we're going to have a thoughtful conversation with loved ones around us who are wrestling with issues of identity, whether that is whether that's just the regular aspects of growing up and figuring out who you are, or there may be the more dramatic aspects of identity, sexual identity, gender identity, if we are not willing in the church to be honest about our own identity struggles, we don't have very much to say. Can you imagine going to a doctor who starts giving you some lecture about how you should quit smoking, and while they're in the middle of their lecture, they light up? Yeah, you know, you really got to quit. It's going to kill you. But help them relax. You would rightly identify, hey, I don't know if I can even listen to this person because they're not taking their own medicine. Now, I hope nobody expects people to be, well, maybe there are times people expect Christians to be perfect. We're not. But we can at least start with honesty. Behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is who we are. And yet sometimes in my own soul and perhaps in yours, you wonder about, do I really matter? Does God really care about me? Does he really accept me? When we identify that, we need to recognize that that's our emotional world, our self-identity that needs to catch up to the truth. So Lord, help me believe who you say I am. I got a long way to go, Jesus. I'm glad you're not done with me yet. For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. And maybe there's parts of your soul that wonder whether or not you have a purpose. That's our self-identity that needs to catch up to what we know is true. Did you know that you've been chosen by God and adopted as his child? Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Do you know that you've been redeemed and forgiven of all your sins? Colossians chapter 1. Do you know that you're complete in Christ? Colossians chapter 2. Do you know that you've been born of God and the evil one cannot touch us? We just sang about that. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. By the way, if you're interested, I put together little sheets in the back. You can do just little reminders if you, like me, need to be reminded of who I am. People of God, do not forget who you are. So these are vitally important conversations. And we need to apply them to our own lives first. Because only then are we going to have a chance to make a difference for the people around us who don't yet know who they are, who don't yet know why they matter, and are doing the best they can with the information they've got. Yes, it's a culture war. Yes, it is. Go ahead and fight, but don't forget the issue underneath the battle. It's an identity crisis. You have loved ones who are in crisis. And when we remember that, it helps us to engage in much more thoughtful ways. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about that next week. Buckle up. And I hope you can be part of this conversation. And I hope as we do that we're going to allow God to work in our souls first. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Lord, there's a lot of work for you to do in our hearts. A lot of work for you to do in mine. Because God, I often forget who I am. Remind me. Forgive me. Lord, thank you for putting people in my life who can help me to discern truth from error, who can help me identify my gifts and talents, who can speak words that I need to hear. Lord, I want to hear your voice most of all. But Lord, may we also listen to the voice of thoughtful Christian community around us. And friend, if there's an area that you're just kind of, maybe I pushed on today, we just take a moment just between you and the Lord and just give it up to him. God, this is an area of my life where I'm still growing, where my identity is wounded. Lord, help me to believe who you say I am. Just if there's an area that comes to mind, just lift it up to him. Lift it up to him. He's a good father. And he loves his kids. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Lord, let me never forget who I am in you. Thank you that you made me. Lord, thank you that you know me. Thank you have a plan for me. Thank you that I'm here with a purpose. Thank you that I matter to you. So, Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite us to stand and respond in song. One song among many. But that helps us to remember who we are. Thanks, band, for leading us.
Also, I'd like to thank Karen for actually my inspiration for this song. This is the first song I've ever sang at a church in Shaktoalik, Alaska. So that we're going to be playing it like that. I hope you guys enjoy it.
Of love, in the bread of life.
Please have a seat. I invite you to take out your communion packets, the ones you received as you came through the door. If you're joining us from home or from wherever you happen to be, please find some bread, find some juice. And let's remember the Lord together. If for some reason you didn't get a communion packet as you're coming in, maybe put your hand up. I'll make certain one gets to you right away. Okay. Jesus said, no greater love has anyone than this, than that he laid down his life for his friends. In these simple elements, we're reminded of Christ's sacrifice, of his love. And it reminds us then of who we are in his love. Because on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples to eat, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Do this remembering me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me. And so as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. So I'm going to lead us in a short prayer, and then I invite us to serve one another, to look somebody in the eye. Look somebody, if you need to, across the aisle in the eye. And say these words to one another. This is Christ's body given for you. This is Christ's blood shed for you. Lord, remind us who we are in you as we remember the sacrifice you made for us. Thank you that through your great love, through giving your body, through shedding your blood, we should become and we should be called the children of God. We belong to you. I belong to you, Jesus. I remember what you did for me to purchase my forgiveness. Amen. Serve one another in Jesus' name. As we close, I invite us to stand together and speak these words of the Lord's Prayer out loud together as a church family, as a community of faith. So even if you're joining us online, say these words out loud together, okay? Let's pray like Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Have a seat for just a moment. We'll do some quick announcements. If you have a connection group that you already know you're going to want to get started, let Pastor Andrew I know so we can start promoting that. If you're thinking about a connection group or something that you would like, let us know and we will start working on that as well. The goal is to start connection groups the week of January the 23rd. This coming Sunday or Saturday, the women will be having an event. So, all women of the church are invited, 10 o'clock until noon this coming Saturday, right here. coffee fellowship, and there'll also be a small program to go with it. This church is incredibly generous. The Christmas offering total was $15,063. So that means just over $5,000 is going to go to the Covenant Kids Congo to help kids. Just over $5,000 will go into our local benevolence fund here at the church to help people if they need keep their heat on. Maybe an emergency to pay a water bill, things like that. And then the last $5,000 will be for worship enhancement and our internship program. So all of us should give a round of applause to each other for that. And the last announcement, every year we have what we call KICY Sunday. KICY is a radio station in Nome, Alaska, that is a Christian station that relies on donations. Once a year, they ask the churches in the Covenant denomination, roughly 800 churches around the world, for every person to donate $1. And that helps that radio station keep going, quite frankly. The radio station broadcasts into Siberia, into Russia, the villages of Alaska, where many of you were here when Mary Gandy was a pastor here, went up to Shaktulik. That village benefited from KICY radio as well. So all cash today in the offering baskets will be going to KICY. On your checks, if you're writing a check, just put KICY on the memo line. We'll make sure it gets to the right place. And on our website, through sometime this afternoon, we're not exactly sure, but there's a tab on our website where you can make a direct donation to KICY as well, right on their link, to help keep that radio station alive and going. So please do that as well. We also have a video to show.
Radio in Western Alaska is very different than radio in the lower 48, primarily because it's still a means of communication between villages and between people. And we have a lot of villages in Western Alaska that don't have pastors right now. They're small villages that range in size from 100 to 700 and 800 maybe on the outside. And these are close-knit communities who have a rich Christian tradition and history, but don't have pastors right now and desire that Christian teaching. And we can provide that, and we do.
So, if that stirred your heart, if you got an extra dollar in your pocket today, put it in the offering baskets on the way out. Let's close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we all woke up Thursday, looked out the window, and thought, wow, to an incredible snow, and then the process to get shoveled out and get things going again. But how that event turned out to show what is so good in people. Neighbors helping neighbors with snow removal, helping dig out cars, digging out driveways, showing up with gas when a snowblower ran out of fuel, working together as neighbors, talking, helping each other, how almost a crisis got neighbors to meet, and how this snow will help farmers, and as it melts, will fill the rivers that eventually will get down to the Columbia to keep our homes warm. So thank you, Jesus, for this incredible snow. What a blessing it is in the reality of things. Let us continue as people of God to love like Jesus. May each of us today depart in peace. Amen.